you know, it's just like finally people are thinking outside the box. But I think that it's mixed with hope and, you know, like in-person's coming back.
Welcome to Event Profs Cast, a podcast built for you by Hubelo Technologies. And now here's your host, Rachel Moore.
What's good, world? So much to do, so little time, which is what makes this podcast perfect to plug into your ears while you get stuff done. Every single guest we bring onto this show is a mighty doer of lots of stuff. And our guest this episode is a perfect example of doing all the things and creating all the spaces for event professionals today. Yes, friends, we're about to talk to Liz Caruso, CEO of Liz King Events and Taxi Talk. And if you ever feel like you surely must be the busiest person on the planet, you're about to discover a kindred spirit right here on Event Profs Cast. Let's meet Liz starting now. Welcome to the show, everyone. And I'm really excited that this week we're welcoming someone who I've had the privilege of working with, you know, from Hubelo's standpoint. But this is a person who I've seen bring a lot of people and thought leaders and you know, voices of the industry of events together in one space and does it very masterfully and really just provides a great resource. She is the CEO and chief event strategist at Liz King Events. Spoiler, her name might be in that company. she's also worked with great brands. She's like worked with Microsoft, Israel's mission to the UN, Teamworthy Ventures, She Summit, and SeatGeek, which I'm seeing a lot of ads for lately on YouTube, I noticed, but just an aside there. But also, again, she helps bring together Taxi Talk, which, again, was just a wonderful event that brought together a bunch of industry leaders and let people just kind of chat through the tech of today's events industry. I know I've only gone over a couple things, and apparently she's also a great mom. So Liz King, welcome. Liz King Caruso. Do you go by Liz King or Liz Caruso?
It's very confusing. Because the company name is Liz King Events, and so we just roll with whatever.
Liz King Caruso, I will call you Liz, and our audience can call you Liz, but thank you for arriving to the show, and this is wonderful to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I love what you guys are doing. So super excited to talk.
Well, thank you. What a whirlwind. 2021. Let's just toss that in the middle. 2021. And just take pause and just kind of think about what kind of year that was, you know, and I know even just talking from Hubelo's standpoint, a lot of things happening quickly. If I had to ask you to kind of synopsize 2021 in a nutshell, what would you say about this last year?
It's been crazy, I think is the word of what I know is using. You know, 2020 was just like disorienting for so many people and very uncertain. And 2021, I think, has brought with it a lot of uncertainty that people were hoping would kind of have passed already. Yeah. But also a lot of excitement about getting back to in-person and what is hybrid. And it's almost stretched. I think it's stretched people to the point where they're thinking, oh, this is permanent change. This is not just. You know, and I think the Delta variant from the summer is really that turning point where a lot of people were like, oh, we're not going back to what we were always doing. Right. That's not going to be so reliable. And so for those of people like me who love technology and have wanted to see people do more virtual and hybrid, it's really exciting. It's been very busy. You know, it's just like finally people are thinking outside the box. But I think that it's mixed with hope and, you know, like in-person's coming back. Now we can take what we've done in virtual space over the last year and a half and everything that people have learned and benefit from that on top of what we were doing really well before. So I think it's been a good year, but I think more towards the end as people start understanding that, like, okay, we are not living in a time where it's just like, oh, that was a weird 3 months. Let's go back to.
Yeah. It was funny because, you know, the start of it, you're kind of people be, oh, go home to work or go, you know, we're going to change for now. And maybe this won't last very long. And then 6 months, 8 months later, you're like, well, this might be a little more permanent than we thought. And you talked just now about things that we've, you know, had to learn over the last year. Are there like certain things that you think have been kind of predominant lessons across the board, even regardless of like industry of clients and, you know, who's putting on events and things like that, or who's planning them. But any lessons that you think are just kind of widespread, like everybody had to learn these lessons about events?
It's a good question, because also there's such a wide spectrum. I mean, there are people who literally didn't think virtual events existed before 2020.
And then that's right.
Doing it for 10 years before and like, hello, what are you guys talking about? So I think it depends, but I think generally, and the other thing is that human behavior has changed so dramatically in the last year and a half, regardless of what you were doing before, it really doesn't matter at this point. So I think in general, you know, things like engagement and how we truly value, what are the things that people value about our events? How do we value our events as organizers to our stakeholders, whether that's sponsors, you know, everyone starts rethinking, like, is it okay to just say that you have a booth, you know, is that enough?
Right.
No. And so, you know, how we position value, I think is, it matters. And so that's one thing I think, and how we keep people engaged. How do you get them to show up? How do you get them to stay participating? Yeah. All of that stuff is stuff that I think we've really learned over the last year and a half, in addition to just the technology changing so rapidly. Even if you were doing virtual and hybrid for 30 years before 2020, it's all changed so dramatically to fit human behavior that's changed. So
yeah,
we're all on a learning curve here.
And I think it's been quite curious to me too, to like see, like, again, I've been talking to some of the other, you know, people that we know in the industry too, who are really kind of finding it curious, you know, how people have had to pivot. How I love one thing Dalia El-Ghazar said at one point. She's like, look, a lot of people who are now tasked with planning events, virtual, or, you know, hopefully again going forward or otherwise, but they literally had to learn a new craft. Like, if they were used to in person, there are some things that carry over between the between in person and virtual and hybrid and any combination of those, but it literally was trying to pick up new skills and rapidly, because so many, you know, everybody was like, cancel in-person event, but we still need to do something and we need to do it quickly and show that we're there. So, what's your pulse on like how event planners are feeling today? Like how are they doing? Are they mentally okay? Do we need to get them like some therapy, some therapy gifts and stuff? Like how's the pulse of the industry going? What do you think?
I think there's going to be a lot of therapy after 2020 in general for the events industry in particular. I think that it's overwhelming, right? When you're trying to learn something from scratch, it's always overwhelming. And then you add to that the fact that things are changing dramatically. You know, I just had a call with a European company earlier today, and things are shutting down again, and they just thought they were, you know, in such a good place. And that's happening obviously globally in different waves and things. So I think there is definitely a lot of stress and uncertainty still. I think it's mixed with hope and, you know, a lot of positive thoughts as well. We're not in March of 2020 anymore, where this is just completely overwhelming to people.
I know,
in
that right?
way. Thank God. But I think, you know, it's a lot. And I think people have, I think the events industry, this is maybe not a popular opinion, but I think we needed the shakeup, and we were used to being able to do what we did year after year, and no one was really questioning how valuable it was. And then all of a sudden there's like this huge spotlight on us.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I had an in-person event, would people come back?
Right.
Was it good enough that they would choose to put their safety at risk, or they would choose to go in front of 50,000 people in the virtual space? Was I offering enough value to our sponsors? And that's just a ton of pressure. And then on top of that, if you don't know the tools to deliver something that makes that answer be yes, I think that's really stressful. So I think that's where a lot of event planners are sitting, like, okay, now I have to figure out how I'm going to make this value really show through to all our stakeholders.
Hybrid. Remember when that used to be about a new type of car? In recent months and years, hybrid took on a whole new meaning for event planners trying to combine virtual with in-person event experiences. Well, Hubalo tried it. We planned and pulled off a hybrid event because, as Yoda infamously said, do or do not, there is no try. If you're looking to do a hybrid event, we want to share all the things we learned with you so you can be a Jedi Master at this whole hybrid thing. Check out our blog, The Perfect 10, Lessons Learned on the Road to Hybrid Innovation, at blog.hubelo.com. It's time for you to do this hybrid thing. Use what we learned at blog.hubelo.com. Once again, that's blog.hubelo.com. You know, this gets into talking about going into the future. So, you know, yeah, in-person was everywhere. Virtual, like you said, some people were already doing it. You know, it's like, yeah, we're always having a virtual event because it's just easier. Lots of in-person stuff. But then, of course, COVID shuts literally everything down. But then everybody's virtual. And so now we're all, you know, via a link can get somewhere to connect with people. And of course, people are like, great, we can still have an event. But you bring up that great point. The spotlight is now on, well, that's a way different kind of attendee experience than if you know of like, I've got someone, they're flying here, they're getting hotel accommodations. They are a rapt audience while they're in my locale to like, make sure they attend this event. Well, now they literally, I mean, I have three screens on my desk right now. And I have been, and everyone listening can raise your hand, you know, whether or not we can see you, but just do it figuratively. If you've ever zoned out, I don't know, during a virtual gathering of any kind, work meeting, you know, could be a work call. It could be a conference call, could be a virtual event you attend, but, and you got it on one screen, but oh my gosh, I've got all this other stuff going on these other two screens that, yeah, you know, and people need me to do stuff. How is that engage? I mean, and then we get to that all drives to that engagement part, right? It is more than an attendee number. It is now about, are you retaining those eyeballs on your screen of your event when everything else is competing with this person? What have you seen with that? Like what has the industry been doing? What do you see going on with that? Where that's this new, like you said, spotlight is on that challenge and how people have to succeed at it.
Yeah. I mean, people take it the value is very different. You know, we've had several incidents lately where speakers were like totally planning on speaking from the airport lounge. And you're like, you would never do that, you know, but they're trying to shove it in between other things. And you're like, you know, so, but it just shows, you know, if it was an in-person speaking engagement, they'd be there the day before and they'd stay in the boat, you know, so that's just a speaker example, but obviously the examples you gave for attendees are the same thing.
No, right? That's really relevant. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, and I am maybe again, a little bit of a different thinker on this because I'm a total introvert. I'm someone who likes to multitask. I like virtual for lots of reasons. I am not saying it's better than in person, but I think as an attendee, it gives you so much flexibility. Yeah. And so I've really been thinking about, we've talked about this a little bit lately, does it matter how much their eyeballs, you know, everyone, I think the metric in the last year and a half has been your video's on, you're engaged, you're looking at me and you're participating. And I think that's really nice. And I love, you know, being able to see your face while we're having this conversation. But I think, like, think of why podcasts are so popular, because people want the content, they are connecting to the brand, they are making those connections, but they want to be doing something else. And wouldn't that be okay? You know, really thinking about what does it look like to serve our audience? And I think that's where I keep coming back to this year-round idea, the content living in multiple formats across multiple channels, giving your attendees ways to plug in at the level that they feel comfortable when they feel comfortable and when they have the time. I mean, there are plenty of reasons why I want to be face-to-face with someone and have a conversation, right, or I want to join a networking event, or I want to do a holiday party. But there's a lot of times where I want to do what you're doing. I want to have it in the background. And it does not mean at all that I don't care about that brand or that I'm not getting the message, you know? And I think event organizers were so used to having that captive audience of people who are just stuck in front of us, but you and I have both been in the back of those rooms many times and their screens are just as distracted. Are they really watching while they're sitting there? Not necessarily, but I think we really have to think about like, what does engagement actually look like in a digital first world? And how long does that last? Is it an 8-hour day or 5 8-hour days?
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I think it's very different.
Well, and yeah, you're just talking too. I mean, I've been to conferences. I used to love to go to Collision, which was it's one of the Web Summit conferences for like startup culture and stuff. And mm-hmm. they always had really great speakers. Obviously it's there for kind of more investors and stuff, but, and it was in New Orleans for a while. It's in Toronto now, but that was just an added bonus. I mean, yes, I'll go to New Orleans. And exactly. and they did like a Women in Tech ticket, which was affordable. Kind of gets back to the accessibility thing you were talking about too with virtual. But yeah, you go and, you know, so I'm in New Orleans, you know, if I'm going to be there for a few days and, you know, just going in, and you're right. I mean, they have my attention. And even if I've got a screen, you know, in my hand and I'm able to kind of do that, but you're still that rapt audience. But it is, I love what you mentioned too, just about we can still, that doesn't mean if they check out, they're not a fan or they're not like interested in what we're doing. I love seeing like the video on demand stuff that's coming or that's yeah. been a lot more prevalent, right? Where it's kind of acknowledging that you've got stuff going on. We know we're important to you. We'll make sure you have access to it later and just making sure you've got that. But I think that's crucial to be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have to speak to our audience when and where they want to receive it and how, mm-hmm. and be a lot more flexible. You know, maybe you have 30 or 70% of your audience who participates live, and, you know, but what if that other missing percentage still gets access to the content and still interacts with other people throughout the year in different ways? Yeah. That's engagement. You know, it's yeah. not the way we saw it with our in-person events, but I think that's what we're going to see moving forward for sure.
What about, I mean, one thing you and I know we kind of talked about this before you were here on the show about community building. I'd love to talk to you a little bit about that, because I wonder if that's part of, and you can confirm or deny this, you know, or substantiate it if you will, but that seems like that's become a lot more important to brands, you know, where they're seeing event marketing or events not as just this, hey, once a year, or maybe mm-hmm. twice, or, you know, every quarter or whatever they're doing. We'll do all this hoopla to get people to the event and then we're done. And we don't have to think about it again until the next event. But if engagement really is a priority and keeping people retained, you know, retaining their attention, even when you're not doing event, then you have to have that community there, not just during the event, but you need to have some place for your attendees to feel like they can still belong and be part of you. How is that? Where's that trending right now that you're seeing in events planning and stuff like that? Are brands out there putting enough emphasis on building and cultivating those communities?
I think they're doing it and they're learning more and more how important it is. And it's such a good testament to the power of events. Mm-hmm. You know, we are not seeing, it's kind of like I use the example of an organization that would only run one Super Bowl commercial a year. It makes no sense. People right. have to see you every single day, you know, whether it's McDonald's or Nike or whatever. They have to see it 1,000 times before they're willing to purchase anything. And mm-hmm. we can make way more impactful, you know, reach if we are doing events more regularly. And so people are starting, I think, to see that instead of spending so much money on something super flashy, not that they're not going to do that, but instead of right. putting all of their budget in that bucket, there's this other thing where we can make meaningful connections with our audience and we can make them feel something and we can connect with them. And then, of course, there's the ownership of that audience. As you build it and you build your email lists and you build all of that, then you can market to them much more strategically. Mm-hmm. So seeing events fit into that overall marketing plan and be used consistently. And then, of course, with the digital first being the new way of thinking,
yeah.
there's so many ways to do it. You know, you don't have to hire a venue and fill it every single time. And I think influencer marketing has played a role in that too, just seeing like, oh, one person tweets one thing. And it just shows how much people want to follow a person they want or a brand, and they want to be connected to other people. Yeah. And there's so many little things, you know, like social media and how people feel about that and what that means about what they're looking for in a community. There's all these things happening at the same time that I think have really positioned event organizers to make
yeah.
really good experiences for their audiences.
Well, you heard it here, Event Profs. Audience connection is more important than filling every single seat. Why? Because you create more memories for future experiences. Liz has a lot more to say in our discussion, which will be continued in part two of this interview, coming soon to your Event Profs Cast feed. Speaking of which, are you following the Event Profs Cast podcast? How about now? We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. And new episodes with the latest hot takes are served up every week, and you won't miss a single one. By the way, this podcast is brought to you by none other than Hubalo. You can find Hubalo online at hubalo.com, on social at Hubalo, on Twitter at Hubalo Connect, and everywhere by using our hashtag Hubalove. That's Hubalo VE. Catch you all next time on Event Profs Cast by Hubalo. Have a great time doing all your stuff.
Event Profs Cast is brought to you by Hubalo Technologies. Thank you for listening. You can visit us online at www.hubalo.com.